We Talk Podcast presents DJ Khaled. Hey. Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there. What it is, what it do. Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. And we're about to start this another One Fall Podcast off. Very, very sad. In this part two, it's Mo, Josh, and Joel once again. And we have somewhat breaking news as we record this that Kimbo Slice has unfortunately died at the age of 42. He was most famous as a YouTube fighter. He gained success to get to the UFC in a season with Rampage and Rashad Evans of The Ultimate Fighter. Didn't do so well there. In one of her biggest fights, he lost to Seth Petrozelli, who has done nothing with his MMA career there. His most recent fight was a joke fight against Data 5000. So I really think his biggest impact was what he had on YouTube, but it's 42, far too soon. This is the guy that should have been in pro wrestling, in my opinion. Joel.
The biggest thing with Kimbo Slice is he in no way is on level of Ali. Ali passed away. Twitter's kind of an interesting place where you're kind of placing.
Yeah, people are comparing him to Bowie, Prince, and Ali.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My biggest thing with.
What?
Yeah, I know, Mo. But we're going to respect the dead.
My biggest thing.
Well, now I'm not.
Oh, boy. The biggest thing with Kimbo Slice is he was a human being that might not have been that great of a fighter, but he still went out and he tried. There's no denying that against all odds, he went out and he tried to do it. And you can't, as much as. He's not going to have a massive impact. He's not going to be a name that we're going to talk about 10 years down the line, but he's going to be a name that will get mentioned every once in a while as a guy that tried, honestly, put in somewhat of an effort to be something. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, did he revolutionize the sport? No. Did he change the game? No. But
I think you could say he changed the game as far as the impact of what social media can get you to.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. he was kind of that. There's two kind of YouTube success stories of that time. One is Justin Bieber, and the other is Kimbo Slice. One is one of the more successful stars in this decade. The other was Kimbo Slice.
That makes it enough to make me think that we should ban YouTube from everywhere.
Hey, there's some good Bieber songs. Come on.
Crickets.
So I...
It's too late to say you're sorry.
Shut up, Josh. Kimbo. My views on Kimbo. Not a whole ton to say about him. I mean, he was not a mixed martial arts fighter. He was a backyard brawler, street thug fighter, a bouncer, a bar bouncer, who ended up in, because of the fame and the excitement of those fights that went on YouTube, ended up getting into mixed martial arts, but he never became a true mixed martial artist. He never learned jiu-jitsu, the jiu-jitsu skills and the wide variety. He was still just a guy who would hit and punch hard. He was not a tremendous athlete, so I don't think he would have been a good professional wrestler. But he had a great charisma. He had an amazing charisma again. You know, great look, great charisma. I don't think he would have had the athleticism. But to me, when I look at him, it's like, why did he do all this? Why did he do the backyard fighting? Why was he the bouncer in the bar? Why was he in the MMA? He had a lot of kids. He had a lot of kids, but you know what? He did it to feed his family.
Yeah.
And so when I look at him, I just
seen.
He's not somebody who he didn't have a lot of other ways he could have made a lot of money and fed his family and taken care of his kids. And he did what he had to do to take care of his kids. And that's just how I kind of look at him. I'm like, was he a great guy? I don't know him well enough. Was he used steroids at the end and he said he should be allowed to because he was older. Older people should be allowed to keep the fights exciting. Like he was not a particularly wonderfully, you know, enlightened human being. But again, I look at him as a man who, what do you expect? You know, he came from a difficult situation, and he did what he had to do, take care of his family, and I can respect that. So that's just kind of my views on Kimbo Slice, and 42 years old for a man with, you know, it's going to be difficult on his children, his loved ones, and I wish them all the best.
Yeah, I think the one thing you keep on hearing from him is that he's a very humble man, and he's a very good family man. I mean, you keep on seeing that from Ariel Helwani and Cyborg, BJ Penn, Ken Shamrock, anyone that really knew him says how humble he was and such a good man is. And that's great. I'm just going, and we're just going to go by what we based off of. I think the pinnacle of him was that Ultimate Fighter season. I think we can all agree on that. Or is it the Seth Petruzzelli fight?
Well, Seth Petruzzelli, who, by the way, is teaching people how to throw punches at NXT now.
Hmm.
If you didn't know that, he's
he is.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's the striking coach in NXT. He has been now for I think like 8 months or something like that.
Wow.
So yeah. So when you say his career didn't go anywhere, what are you talking about? but yeah, there's only a handful of people that you could say were draws in mixed martial arts that weren't UFC made. You know, you would say him, Fedor, maybe you would say Gina Carano and Cyborg.
Yep. And perhaps Ronda wasn't UFC made.
And I was going to say yeah. Ronda. And I think those are the ones you would say. Yeah. I think, you know, outside of that, anybody else that has drawn away from
technically
UFC
Rampage still, too, right? Because and Machida, because they weren't in UFC.
Yeah, but they weren't a draw until they got to the UFC.
Fair enough.
I think they're UFC made, whereas Fedor was a draw, you know, and Kimbo was a draw, and even like a Gino Carano or a Rousey, even before they got there, were drawing, you know, fairly
Shields.
Well.
Shields as well, but not like the level. Kimbo was such a big name, right?
Yeah.
He Kimbo was such a big draw. Like, even that Data 5000 in his fight did really good numbers for Bellator. Like, really good numbers for Bellator, which is... It just showed the drawing power there.
Yeah, crazy charisma, for sure. Like I say, so, I mean, when I look at it, I think he's probably the number two biggest drawing name in mixed martial arts that wasn't UFC made, behind Fedor, I think.
Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, you can say Ronda, but Ronda really got her drawing power because of the UFC.
Yeah, she was already drawing fairly well, considering, but it was because that's when... She still got to a next level because of the UFC.
Yeah.
Kimbo was already at the next level. Like, you know, Fedor, he's drawn well without that.
Like you said, I it's sad. I feel bad for his family and loved ones, but, you know, we just did a Muhammad Ali podcast, and there's so much to talk about. And for the people comparing two legends of their sports with Muhammad Ali and Kimbo, you need to delete your Twitter account.
I kind of think, yeah. Let's like I've said it before. I'll say it again, the millionth time. When somebody leaves their job or when somebody dies, people want to elevate them, and it's everything's, you know, wine and roses and beautiful, and people forget reality.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like it's the rose colored glasses. A lot of these people that are saying that. Kimbo Slice is in the same category as a David Bowie or a Prince or an Ali are the same people that were laughing at that Data 5000 fight and saying he was a joke. A lot of those people were.
Yeah, I think there were some of those people, but there's also probably some people out there that, to them, Kimbo Slice was that pinnacle.
Oh, of course. Of course. And I mean, there's some people that grew up...
Prince hadn't done a lot in the last few years, so I get that. The last 5 years or 7 years, I mean, Kimbo would have done more than Prince. But, come on, comparing their careers, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, David Bowie has probably maybe the best album that came out this year. Like, you can't just put stuff like that together. But this is what happens with social media, right? People just throw stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no way to
know that. That's why I didn't know that, because I don't want it. Except occasionally just to tell people what I'm up to. Very occasionally.
I'm going to kind of move on from that. There's no easy way to news that I had to get broke to me. So, Mo, I'm going to tell you a little story about the one fall jinx. So I went off to my sister's wedding this week, and Joel and I were like, we're going to record this on the Tuesday because you're going to be busy at your sister's wedding. Cool. So we're like joking. You know, I'm like, you know, I just have a feeling that something, that a big death and a big event are going to break. And Joel and I are like, yeah, right. Just our luck. This year's already been way too big with Japan and all the, and the brand split and all this other stuff. Nothing, and the Connor stuff, nothing that big that could supersede any of those will happen. Then Muhammad Ali died, and then Brock Lesnar went back to the UFC.
You forgot about the UFC being sold. You forgot about that story.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm back-to-back nights. On the Friday, Muhammad Ali sadly passed away, and you can check our whole pod on that on every platform. And then Brock Lesnar dropped a bombshell on the day of the wedding that he is going to be fighting at the UFC 200 pay-per-view.
Now, before we get into this, because when we do, we'll get into it deeply. Would you guys mind if I just like to get your opinions on the Errol Helwani situation.
Okay, so he's reinstated. He's reinstated now.
Okay.
I thought it was okay, and I'm just going to say this personally. I am a journalist. I'm a broadcaster, so I'm going to be completely biased and side with the broadcaster in this. And I thought it was absolute bullshit, and I can't take any bias out of it. He did his job. He reported. So that's my bias on this, and I'll let you guys go.
My thought on this was it's very thin line, because at one hand, you'd think Helwani should have gone to UFC to get comment, and then he could have had that to the story. And then if UFC had just pulled this sign and say, we want this to be a big surprise. We get your journalist. Just lay off. Just lay off. Let the big surprise come out. Everyone be shocked. It'll be great. And then you can have whatever you want, and we'll give you the big scoop on it. On the other side, you're a journalist, and you're sitting on a hot story. Why the hell would you sit on it? Especially when you have reliable sources. It's a very thin line. I think Helwani was doing his job. And I think Dana White overreacted ever so slightly to this. It just shows that Dana has a very razor-thin temper, a lot like another crazy man that... I think the similarities between Dana White and Vince McMahon are very apparent, more and more, each and every day. So I think Helwani was doing his job, and I think Dana overreacted.
Helwani was on like the MMA Hour and a few different places, and he mentioned that when Dana was throwing him out, he mentioned that Dana said multiple times, "Lorenzo's pissed off at you, Lorenzo's whatever," and you know, and that Ariel Helwani was actually saying he didn't know that. He did not even really think that Dana wanted to do it, that it was all Lorenzo. I don't know. It's complicated, but it's just, to me, when I think of the two most, like FIFA and the IOC are like the two most arrogant sports organizations in the world. But somehow the UFC seems like they're closing ground quickly.
You know?
Oh yeah.
And that's what kind of gets to me. It's like, the thing is, they were asked on Friday, hey, is there, because Brock Lesnar had shown up on the website, you know, momentarily for about 2 hours. And they said, is there anything going on with Brock Lesnar? And Dana looks at the guy and says, no, absolutely nothing. So, I mean, when you say that she should go for them for a quote, why? Because they have proven time and time and time and time and time again that you can ask them a question and they won't say something like no comment or stay tuned or something that you can almost respect. They'll straight up lie to you. And so they don't use the UFC. The UFC does not see the media as a partnership. They see them as a necessary evil, which is stupid and sucks. And I absolutely thought that this was terrible behavior. And then again, how many times, if I was to make a list of Dana White's 10 most terrible behaviors, I'd probably have to make that list about 50 instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. And now that Ariel Helwani has come out and done, I don't believe what I...
Dan Patrick. He did a Dan Patrick show.
And he had revealed some information about the money and how he would get paid for stuff and them them more or less getting him to filter his questions and it being very much... It's a very interesting topic right now with Helwani and the UFC and how they handle media and how they handle people reporting on stuff. Because clearly, I look at it like this. As much as Vince hates the dirt sheets, he's still got to sit there and think, well, it's promoting us. Dana hates them. Like, the UFC despises them. That they're like, we don't want you around. I think they almost need to embrace it at sometimes. It's a sport. Things are going to break. I look at it, if the Flames were rumored to sign Sidney Crosby, and that story kind of started to leak out, the Flames aren't going to sit there and start banning reporters that leak it out. No. They're just going to be like, oh, well.
Well, I'll give you a really good example. Can't remember the – I think it was Chris Palmer a few years ago broke the news 2 days beforehand that LeBron was going back to Cleveland. And he said he had three sources that confirmed it and everything, but it was booked to have this big story in Sports Illustrated, right? And eventually the story broke and dude didn't get fired, but it would have been the equivalent of the Cavs came out like, you broke our big story, you're fired. Which is more or less
you're good at your job, you're fired.
Yeah, it would be like, I don't know, if Renee Young said, hey, the Bullet Club is coming to WWE. Wow, Renee, you weren't supposed to do that. It's not the same with Renee. That was a terrible analogy.
That's a terrible analogy.
Yeah. I tried to think of with WWE, but it's not like he can fire Meltzer, right?
Meltzer is a funny one because, you know, I mean, he'll totally cut off, like Dana will totally cut off conversation with Meltzer. And then when he needs his opinion, he'll contact him and text him and, you know, do all this stuff because he knows his stuff. But then he'll get pissed at him and not contact him for a while.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's a single time ever in history that Ariel Helwani has broken a story and he's broken multiple ones before they wanted him to, that it's cost them a single dime.
No.
I don't think that this cost them a dime. This just creates more buzz. It just creates more people who want to see UFC 199 to see what's going on. Like, he's never once, you know, saying that the McGregor and Diaz fight's going to happen before they confirm that the rematch is on. Does not cost them a dime. Like, that's the crazy thing about me. And then it's like, he's too negative. He's too negative by not letting you break it. Like, it's just stupid.
That seems like a very wrestling thing too, right, Mo? That they needed the big surprise of Brock. They wanted to be surprised. That's a very wrestling thing.
Well, when I look at the UFC, to me, is more and more and more starting to head in that freak show fight pride category anyways. Yeah. So. Yeah, that is.
By the way, really quick thing, I may have missed it, but they never talked about the fight tonight on Raw, did they?
No.
Are you both surprised about that? Because I'm a little surprised about that.
I think it'll come closer to the fight. I think they will mention it because I definitely think they've got some sort of deal or.
I don't know what they're supposed to do. UFC probably will give them a video package that they prepared, and I bet they don't have that ready yet. So when that's ready, then I don't think that they'd be coming up with their own video package. And I guess you could have had the talking heads at the table talk about the fight, but they were busy talking about Ali, and frankly, they should have been talking about Ali.
Yeah, so, I agree. Yeah. And I don't know how many, I would think JBL knows stuff about Mark Hunt, but I don't know how Michael Cole and Byron Saxton are on their knowledge of Mark Hunt.
Yeah, I'm not sure how good Byron Saxton and Michael Cole are on their knowledge of AJ Styles. So, nevertheless, Mark Hunt.
Yeah. So, I mean, with the Helwani stuff, again, I'm going to be biased because I'm a journalist, but I thought he was doing his job. It's an interesting month for Helwani with this and the Kevin Owens stuff. He's really, and during the Raptor stuff, a lot of people were calling him a bandwagon fan, and he kind of went off on a few fans. So, it's been an interesting month in the life of Ariel Helwani.
And then the stuff with Kevin Owens and the
restaurant.
That's
what I said. Yeah.
I didn't hear this story. What about him and Kevin Owens? What?
Joel, you told us the best, so go ahead.
So basically, it's a small, KO and his wife had gone out to a restaurant, and they...
Montreal.
Yeah, they felt like they had poor service, and they left the restaurant, and KO, being KO, sent a tweet out about it. And then it kind of died. KO had sent his tweet out. Then this restaurant sent out a tweet back at him saying, oh, we're John Cena fans. That's why you got no service. Ha, ha, ha. And then KO thought he was done with it, moved on with his life. And then Hawani on the MMA Hour had come out and said KO had come into the restaurant basically acting like he was the king
hot,
of it.
Like hot shit.
Yeah. And then someone had said that KO had called the restaurant and had this big conversation with the restaurant owner saying, are you going to apologize? Are you going to apologize? It's Kevin Owens. You know who I am. You need to apologize to me. And this whole thing, because Hawani is best friends with the restaurant owner. And so apparently this whole conversation's going on, and then KO ends the conversation by going KO out, and then hangs up the phone.
Which I don't believe. Which I don't believe for a second.
I don't either. And so, and then Hawani's talking about what a goof KO is, and his buddy has a good restaurant, and you shouldn't take this thing from a wrestler. And the only reason I got drawn to this was because Punk tweeted out and said, wrestling fans should really check this out, the ending. And so KO had sent out a tweet afterwards, because it's Kevin Owens, and he basically had this long thing of like, no, my date nights with my wife are very few and far between. We wanted to go to a place that we could hang out, have downtime, because it's hard to get a sitter. It's hard to have a proper date with my wife with the schedule I work. And the service was poor. I didn't come in arrogant. I came in as just a normal person that wanted to eat food with his wife. And the service was crap. And I left. And that was it. I did not make a phone call. And basically called Hawani out for not getting KO's side of the story, going off his friend's side of the story, which, admittedly, he had bias towards. So it was this whole thing back and forth. And it was kind of like almost poor journalism on Hawani's part.
Yeah, that does sound like it. But it doesn't sound less so much like journalism, so much as like it's offending a friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and then he had the stuff with the Raptor stuff as well, where he's a Knicks fan because, you know, he claimed, you know, when he grew up in Montreal, and this is before Vancouver or the Raptors were around, so he just became a Knicks fan by default, loving the Garden and everything, and he was cheering for the Raptors during the finals, and some people were calling him out for being a bandwagon fan, and he kind of went back and forth to some fans. And some people thought he was in poor taste of him reacting to the fans, and he should have just left it alone. So he got a little bit of buzz for that as well, which I just thought is so silly. It's like, dude, he's a Canadian. Let him just go for the Raptors. Like, people's teams were out, and they were going for the Raptors. We're Canadian. We're going to go for them by default. Like, who cares?
Do you know how many people jumped on the bandwagon during those playoffs?
So many people. I'm a Lakers fan, and I would jump on the bandwagon. Who cares?
I was watching my first Raptors games in years.
Yeah, so, exactly. Like, it's, you know? The whole bandwagon thing is so weird. We'll save that for another podcast. But so as far as this fight goes, I mean, there's so much to freaking talk about this. First of all, Mo, Brock's going to lose this fight, right?
No, I don't think Hunt's a bad matchup for him. A lot of people are really worried because
he can hit hard.
He hits super hard, but Brock Lesnar is a 5-3 fighter. Okay.
Yeah. You know. And do you know what, two of those losses I don't count because of the diverticulitis.
I do, because I think he would have lost them regardless.
I don't know if he loses to Vasquez with it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Absolutely. Does and that's the thing is Vasquez was a matchup and Overeem's a matchup that would give him trouble regardless. Whereas Hunt and Carwin are like the same type of guy.
Fair.
And that to me, Carwin was the hardest hitter in the division when he faced him. Mm-hmm. But the guy that throws the knockout punch isn't the guy that's dangerous to Brock Lesnar. The guy who's the volume puncher, who Brock consistently peppers him in the face and wears him down, and backs him up and so he can't do his wrestling and just gets him out of his game and gets in his head because he hates being hit in the face. That's the guy that's dangerous. And that's your Junior DeSantos, obviously, Overeem, Brown would be like that. Travis Brown would be a guy that you would look out for like that. Strove even. Like, these are guys that could do that volume punching and that's the accurate volume punching. and that's what Velasquez is too, that pace. Those are the guys that are dangerous to Brock. Like I look at a Hunt and I think that's a good matchup. Yeah, he could knock him out. Absolutely. He could. And anything could happen in a fight.
Hunt is favored right now. He is favored in the fight.
And he should be. I understand that.
And
but yeah, I think this is a good matchup for Brock.
I don't know admittedly as much about Hunt, but I feel like Brock's not going to do this unless he thinks he's got a decent shot or a chance.
Well, hey, Joel, on that, I have to tell you, Brock thinks he can beat anybody on the planet. So
that's fair. That's fair. So
he called himself the modern day Bo Jackson.
I look at this as
Bo Jackson would have kicked his ass.
Yeah, he would have.
I look at this as more than likely this is Brock's getting paid through the nose. He's absolutely getting a boatload of money for this.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting because this is. I'd heard a rumor, and I was actually looking to see what your thoughts on this were, but say Brock gets KO'd in the first round, and he then receives a medical suspension for 90 days, and that would impact SummerSlam. Is there any truth to this? Because I heard some stuff.
There is now, Joe. I looked into it. So if he gets knocked out, he can still fight at SummerSlam, but he has to be cleared by the New York Commission. They have to do a test on him before the actual event.
Really? Okay.
Yes. So you were correct. I thought it was because of wrestling not being sanctioned as a sport. It doesn't matter. He still is in a sport that was sanctioned and has to be cleared from the sanctioned sport.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Still, I want to know Mo's thoughts on this.
On him being sanctioned?
I mean, how it could affect SummerSlam. Like, why would Vince
agree? That's the big danger. Is WWE has the most, like, they're in the most dangerous position of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, far more than UFC. UFC, I mean, if Mark Hunt wins, it's great. If Brock Lesnar wins, great. Like, it doesn't, you know, either way, we made a bunch of money off of it. We're good. Like, you know, if Mark Hunt is capable of hitting him to the point where, yeah, it could expose him if it's the wrong type of knockout. B, it could cause an injury because he does hit hard. Again, I think it's a good matchup for Brock. I think it's the type of guy he can beat. You know, a guy with a short reach who's really just a power hitter. So he'll keep coming at you. Mark Hunt will never quit. Ever.
No. No.
He doesn't have the pace of a guy like Velasquez, you know. So
Yeah,
I mean, it would be, but again, if they don't have Brock Lesnar for SummerSlam, is that the be all and end all? Like, I don't even know who he'd face at SummerSlam at this point. So.
Well, you ready for my fantasy booking?
Murr? Is it Murr?
No. So he beats let's say he beats Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt is what? Samoan. You have Joe come out. We pretend that Mark Hunt is Samoa Joe's distant cousin, and we get Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar.
That's
okay. I can dream, Mo!
I can tell you why I think that's not the case. Because this man didn't pick Mark Hunt. The UFC did.
Oh, I know. Trust me. I know that. I'm just trying to connect the dots to the match I want the most in the company right now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of matchups for Brock, but I just don't know where they're going to go.
We keep on hearing Bray, and I don't know how you go from a UFC fight to facing Bray Wyatt.
Well, Bray was supposed to be on tonight's Raw, and no-show. No
really?
Show, no, you know, like, the rumors that he's going to... No, the rumors that he's healthy, he was ready to go. They were talking about... Twitter was hinting at it. He's been hinting at it.
Uh-huh.
Meltzer mentioned it today, you know, that he's supposed to be there tonight, and nothing. So...
Well, it was really mysterious, too, because they had 7 men in the Money in the Bank, and now they're 6.
And it's confirmed as just 6.
Yeah.
And it's confirmed, yeah.
Yeah, which is very, very interesting. But so now we go to this, the next part, Mo and Joel. Vince McMahon agreed to this? That's the part that everyone is like, people could be like, yeah, I understand Brock would want to do another fight and all that, but the fact that Vince McMahon agreed to this, there is something coming his way, whether it be Bones Jones or Connor or Ronda, something is coming his way.
It speaks to a few things. Like number one, he's getting cash probably for it.
Yes, so that too.
I'm sure he's getting cash. Number two, I'm sure he's getting somebody on who's being lent. But the third thing it speaks to is that WWE always went, oh, they're not our competition, but they were.
Yeah.
They would always say they weren't.
Yeah.
In some ways, now they're not, because it used to be, hey, we have if we have a UFC 1 week before a pay-per-view, people are only going to be able to afford one. Mm-hmm. Now it's $10 for the network. Like, yeah. In some ways, it takes that direct competition away. Like,
well, we even see that during SummerSlam week. SummerSlam week is TakeOver, J-Cup, UFC 202, and SummerSlam.
Holy crap, huh?
Yeah.
We're going to be busy.
So, and that UFC 202, not to jump all over the place, that is Connor and Diaz rematch, and possibly Punk and Mickey Gall, finally.
Yeah. And I hate that, because I want to see Connor, and, you know, I'm pretty sure Diaz wins. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Gall wins,
mm-hmm.
but I still, like, I said I wasn't going to pay for CM Punk to fight, because I think he's a hypocrite. but now he's on the card where I really want to watch Anthony McGregor. So I'm like, well, at least maybe I can watch Mickey Gall beat the shit out of him, which I'm pretty sure is going to happen.
Yeah.
So
what card? Because there was a debate about this, and to me, it's a no-brainer. But what card makes more money, 200 or 202?
It's impossible to say, because until you see like that buzz a few days ahead of time. And mm-hmm. If I'm going to guess, I'd go 202, though.
Really? Okay, yeah. I've heard a few people say 202, and I just look at 200, and you have the Brock fight, you have the Cormier-Jones, you have the Misha Tate fight, and you have the Aldo fight. Those are four matches, fights, whatever, that can headline any show, and you have them all at UFC 200.
Yeah, I just think McGregor and Diaz is huge, and the curiosity. Like, I don't know that Tate adds that many. I don't know that I don't think Brock adds as many as a lot of people think he will.
Really? I think it's that wrestling audience coming over. And I think that's one reason 202 is going to be here, because they're going to get the people from Punk, and WWE promoting it is going to help them, because they are arguably one of the best when they really focus and promote things. Like we saw with the Seth and Roman stuff tonight, they can make stuff and promote stuff and make you care. And they're going to have that with the Brock stuff for their audience to come over as well.
Well, I don't know how much they're going to promote the UFC. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know.
I don't know about that, but I do know that if I bet you, if you ask people that watch Raw tonight, if you ask, say, 100,000 of them, if they could watch the Brock's return or CM Punk's first match, I bet you more would be interested in CM Punk's first match. I think there's more curiosity.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think the fact that we've seen Brock wrestle 6 times over the last 15 months means that he's not as special as CM Punk, who we haven't seen in a couple of years.
I think the thing with the Punk thing is, then I want to get Joel to come in, because I think he has good points and stuff. I think the thing with Punk is, where Brock, you know, he's going to come back and still be at SummerSlam, we would think. With Punk, if he loses, the speculation of him coming back to the company, even with what he has said, Mo, you know, as soon as he loses, people are going to be like, okay, he's coming back. Whether you and I have had this talk, and Joel have had this talk, that he probably isn't because of what his feelings are, but as soon as he gets knocked out, the rumors of him coming back to the Fed are going to start.
Oh, yeah. The biggest thing with these next couple cards for UFC is, I think they do make a lot of money.
Millions too, yeah.
Yeah, millions, money, potato, potato. I do think they hit the 2 million buy rate with UFC 200. I think, A, it's UFC 200. You have John Bones Jones, who isn't that level, but for me, he's a guy I want to see get knocked out. He's that Ali kind of figure back in the 60s where people are like, I want to see him get knocked out. To me, I want to see John Bones Jones lose horribly and just lose.
Joel doesn't like him very much.
No kidding.
I think you have to keep in mind that Cormier, as much as he's the second best guy in the division, I think that's in question,
that first match between them was so dominant in Jones' favor that I think a lot of people think that that it's a foregone conclusion, and that takes away some of the people's interest in the fight.
Yeah, but my biggest thing with this is I think Brock, coupled with the fact that this is UFC 200, they've made it to 200. It's, in a lot of ways, it's a miracle that they've been able to last this long, because for the longest time, it was looked down upon. It was looked at this weird thing. Like, in a lot of ways, where it's potentially heading to now, it used to be kind of that freak show fighting where you'd have big guys fight little guys, and it was all this weird stuff. I think UFC 200 makes 2 million, and I think... But you could make the argument for McGregor and McGregor's fight, because it's Conor McGregor. If there's one other guy in the world that people would like to see get knocked out, it's probably Conor McGregor.
Or Diaz. Your poison.
Yeah.
That's true. The thing is that, 7 years ago, UFC 100, do you think the UFC was hotter than they are right now or not?
No. I think UFC 100 is the pinnacle, but I still think...
Who headlined that card?
Brock Lesnar versus Frank Mir.
Yeah.
And it also had GSP on it. It did 1.6 million
buys. This is true. When you have GSP, that does help.
Yeah, you had GSP. You had Bisping and Henderson. It did 1.6 million buys or something like that, I believe. Or maybe 1.8.
Yeah.
It was 1.8.
It's still the highest buy rate they've ever had.
So I just don't see how this one tops that. Like, I just don't see, if the company's not as hot, the Lesnar will have some interest, but probably I don't think he'll have as much interest as he once did. And the main event is not, that's not as hot a main event. And Aldo got
exposed. Is that the main event, or is it Jones Cormier the main event?
No, Jones Cormier, that Jones Cormier is the main event, and it's not as hot. It's hot, but it's not as hot.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Aldo has never been a draw, and he got exposed by McGregor.
So, I still think that's going to be a really good fight, though.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
It could be a fight of the year.
Yeah, it could be. But, I think Aldo just... I mean, I'd like to see Aldo versus McGregor again, because the guy hadn't lost in years. And then right? But McGregor versus... I mean, they did, what, 1.3 or something like that, or 1.4 million when, like, you know, a week and a half worth of promotion, and when most people thought Diaz couldn't win.
Yeah.
You know, now that they think Diaz can win, and they're
plus
now
the retirement under, stuff.
Yeah, like, I'll just, like, and time to promote it. And
you're convincing me, Bowen. I don't like it.
I know. I think it's the bigger of the two. I really do.
You know,
is it super?
What's on 201? What's on 201?
I don't know. But are you going this by the Conor fight alone, or the addition of the Punk with the curiosity?
I think the Punk curiosity I think it'll be a big draw.
Okay.
Because people still chant his name occasionally on Raw.
Of course.
Is that the most annoying chant on Raw quickly? Is that...
No, what? I hate what still. I don't understand why...
Charlotte tonight again. I'm like, shut up. Yeah, they did it to AJ Styles the week before. I want to go out there and punch everyone.
Yeah, I definitely. I think Mo's the wisest of the three of us at times.
He's made good points about it. I can see arguments for both, but I think, you know, we had a whole podcast when we were talking about the Conor retirement. I think Conor's the biggest draw in mixed martial arts right now.
I think so.
Him or Ronda?
I think he's even bigger than Ronda personally.
Yeah.
Right now, and the other thing is I think we're thinking that UFC 200 has the same type of I think there's an assumption it has the same type of brand name carrying, like, mythical thing that WrestleMania has, and I don't know. I think to a lot of people it's just another number.
Well, I think there's really three big shows for them this year now, right? So there's 200 shows, a really big show, obviously. And 202 is turning into a big show, and then there's that Garden show. And their first time at Madison Square Garden in November.
What do you guys do with Bisping? Well, who do you guys put Bisping
in? Yeah, rematch.
And by the way, when you talk about Lesnar, anything can happen, or, you know, whatever, or even Cormier and Jones, and anything can happen. Nothing is more proof than that Bisping fight.
19 years, finally got a championship. I have him face Rockwell. I mean, you look at the fireworks after that fight. And, you know, yeah, he dropped the unfortunate, the other unfortunate F-bomb. Really? But I think the Michael Bisping story is absolutely amazing. And I'd probably have him face Rockwell.
Yeah.
Rockhold.
Rockhold, sorry. Yeah.
What do you do, Joel?
I'd probably do the exact same thing. Like that you talk about a lot of things from that night with the Brock Lesnar, the Helwani stuff. But one of the things that always stuck out was that press conference afterwards. They wanted to kill each other after the press conference. They had their fight, and they still wanted to go for more. So that's where I would go, because that's probably where the most money is.
So probably what they should do then is Jacare Souza versus Weidman, and as for contendership, and Rockhold versus Bisping for the title on the same night on that MSG show.
So did you watch UFC 199?
No, 199. I actually didn't see it. No, though I heard it was a really good card.
Yeah, I mean, I had my sister's wedding during this, but it sounded like my phone was getting flooded from text messages and updates, and it sounded like a very good show. And I've watched back some stuff now. But I think what's the biggest thing to come out of this then? Is it the aerial stuff that started? Is it the Brock stuff?
Brock.
Brock, yeah, okay. 100%.
Well, because the Brock thing has the whole holy shit, Vince McMahon's letting this happen factor.
Yep.
Now, Mo, I had a question for Josh today. I want to ask you as well. With Vince McMahon opening up to this crazy thing that I never thought would happen, what is the potential in your mind of Vince opening up to something like working out a deal with ROH or New Japan when the ice thaws between them and New Japan, when you have a little bit more control and you can be a little bit more, you don't have to worry about your guy getting knocked out? Do you see this opening doors for something like that, or is that still a big no-no for Vince?
And me and Addy actually had this argument on We Talk Wrestling a little while ago, because I do think, and I think that's actually something Triple H will bring in. I do think that Triple H will bring in when it's his time. I can see him having a working relationship with just about everybody. I don't know that Vince McMahon will get there. It's such a paradigm shift for him mentally from where he came from, you know. But on the other hand, this shows me it's not. I wouldn't say it's 100% no. I just say it's unlikely with him. But I think someday it's inevitable that we will see more. But like, even when I'm looking here at, you know, I'm seeing the club, and John Cena tonight called them the Bullet Club in his promo. And you're seeing the club, and they're still doing their hand signal. And then you're looking on ROH this weekend, and you're seeing Bullet Club, and they're doing it. And it's like, in some ways, it already feels like they're all part of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's all, you know. So, yeah, I think it's somewhat inevitable someday.
It's definitely this whole Brock situation is definitely one of the more interesting things that have come across this year or in the last 10 years. Because Vince was so, UFC, don't think about that. That's barbaric. No one likes that. To now to a point where I don't think this was Vince's brainchild. I think ultimately this comes down to Brock. Brock wanted to do this, and Brock kind of put the bug in Vince's ear. And I think the biggest thing from this is WWE, regardless of what happens with the fight, they get a happy Brock Lesnar, and they get to keep him around for a little bit longer to continue to make money off of him.
But I don't know about you guys, but when this happened, I went, I'm not sure this has anything to do with it, and it doesn't sound like it does. But boy, the fact that Shane is back there and this is happening to me.
I thought the exact same thing, Mo. It's the first thing I said to Joe, Mike, Shane has to be behind this. And also, that match with Dean Ambrose makes a lot more sense now.
Yes, it does. I think so, yeah.
Because you're not going to do all those spots if you're in a camp. And he was probably doing that camp either just before or during or about to get started when that WrestleMania match happened with Dean.
Yeah, probably I would guess just after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he never took any bumps in that. It was way too short. And we were all scratching our heads like, what the hell was that? That was a joke.
That you have Mick Foley introduce a weapon that he goes to use and fails. and never hits him with, and then Terry Funk introduces a weapon that he goes to use and goes to hit him with and fails, and you're like, then why the hell do you introduce them and even bring them back out? But now,
now that all makes sense.
I'm just looking forward to seeing like Paul Heyman in the UFC.
That's what I was gonna say. Does he come out to the WWE theme?
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
In an ideal world, as much as I like him, have Paul Heyman do the intro for him in UFC.
Sure. I mean,
he's gonna get so much heel heat from that crowd. I love it.
I wonder. Like, he used to be that guy that was the WWE or the wrestling guy that the crowd really booed. I'm not sure he will be now.
But he's coming back as that, though, Mo. Wouldn't you think that he is? I could be wrong.
I think people might just be grateful that he's there. I mean, who knows? It's tough to say. But I think and until we see the promos, who knows?
Punk's going to get the heat when he fights. That's
Punk is going to get destroyed. And he doesn't give a shit. That's one thing I like about Punk. He can care less.
No, he just wants to live his dream and do the fight.
Yeah, and I still need to see it happen. Like, the odds of an injury right in the next 2 months before that fight takes place to me still seem extremely high.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened was Ronda Rousey had knee surgery and she won't be doing the Madison Square Garden show anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't know where she goes from here. I don't know where she goes from here. So I guess, is there any chance that Tay could face Cyborg, or is she going to face Holly Holm?
She can face Holm if she gets past Nunes,
right?
You know, which she should, she should, but it's not a guarantee. But she should.
No. I mean,
it's got to be Holm, and Holm has a matchup that she should win here.
Then what do you do with Cyborg time? Then?
Well, if Cyborg is not willing to cut to 135, you don't do anything.
Okay, yeah, that's the right answer.
You know, if somebody is willing to, if Holly Holm is willing to fight her at 140, fine, but it wouldn't be for a title.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Anything else with UFC, Joel?
Well, we hit Punk. Everything we crossed off with, and in 45 minutes, too, I made the Brock Lesnar story.
I mean, there's so many layers to that, but we got to talk about TakeOver, the end.
I just want to say, if we're going to say, before we do move on, then the one thing is that we're all talking about how we're amazed at Vince, but I'm in some ways more amazed at Dana, because you have to keep in mind how much they wouldn't let people do fancy entrances. They wouldn't, like, unless they controlled it, like, anything. Like, they're very much against anybody. It's always been their fear that people would think this was fake, and that was because WWE was bigger than them at one point, you know. So it was like they were in the shadow, and they wanted.
Well, Vince even thought it was bigger, because remember Vince put Tough Enough on this right after Raw. I thought it was nothing.
Yeah. But that's the Ultimate Fighter.
No.
Ultimate Fighter. Yeah. Now, I mean, Dana has been super protective of not having his company seen as being pro wrestling. I guess now they're at the point where they're so big that it's no longer a worry. But to me, that's also a big shift. But he's, you know, willing to kind of say, they're no longer afraid of being associated with wrestling. Because even when Lesnar was in, they were careful of how they presented him.
Yeah. I think it was you that told me, Josh, that there'd been some phone conversations between Dana White and Vince McMahon.
Yeah, there was the broker of a deal kind of going back and forth, and what could work, what can't, and I mean, if you could be any way involved with those phone calls, those must have been very interesting.
I can just imagine the madness just in that room alone, the two of them together.
Did you ever hear the storyline of when Vince wanted to fight, like have a match with Dana White?
Yeah, I did.
What?
Yeah, did you hear, Joel? That
no.
He tried to get a match with Dana at I think it was SummerSlam, but maybe in a WrestleMania. I think it was a SummerSlam, but either way, he tried to get a match with him. And when Dana said no, we're not going to happen, Vince said to him, "Well, if you want, instead of a match, we can make it a shoot."
Oh.
Vince is fucking crazy.
This is the guy that would shoot on Kurt Angle, so I'm not shocked at all. Holy crap.
It's unbelievable to me. He's amazing.
He.
God bless Vince McMahon. He's amazing.
Me and Josh have always said that.
Oh, that one's going to suck.
Yeah, when Vince goes, that's like a 2-hour podcast, and the Vince impression will live on forever.
Yeah! Well,
Vince will always be with us from the grave.
That one will suck. I mean, you know, in this era, Ali, I don't want to get too morbid. You know, we let off with an unfortunate passing of Kimbo here, but Joel and I have always said, which ones will really, really, really hit you? And you don't have to give a whole bunch, but like, what's one or two wrestling deaths, combat deaths that would really hit you hard, Mo?
Well, I mean, Owen Hart and Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero are already three that have hit me really hard. You know, in many ways, Eddie the most, actually.
Yeah, Eddie sucked.
I'm gonna say currently living right now. Yeah, I mean those guys, and then Roddy Piper was huge for me recently, and Randy Savage. Like,
that one was weird.
More. So, like, who's left? Like Hulk Hogan,
Flair,
Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, Vince. And Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then if like anything like Rock or Austin kind of came out of nowhere, that would be pretty bad.
It'd be weird, yeah.
But like, I mean, not to be morbid, but if Scott Hall or Jake passed tomorrow, it's going to be sad, and we're going to have a great time remembering their careers, but you're not going to be surprised.
No, you're not going to be surprised, no. It's a different thing. It's like, I don't know. The ones that you felt like you struggled with are the ones that tend to hit you the most.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get a little bit more positive and go to NXT TakeOver.
Yeah, the end.
I don't think this is the end of NXT.
I think it's the end of
NXT. It's just the end of that feud, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I got the card sitting in front of me, so... Ty Dillinger versus, I'm going to butcher his name and I apologize, Andrea Cien Almas?
Ten.
Well, he was Manny Andrade or whatever. It was still hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
But that was a million times easier than this. They went to this name. I'm like, what the? I can't. I'm just going to call him Sin Cara.
Well, he doesn't have the I really liked his vignette. I really like the look. I really thought this was.
He's got potential. Sure, he's a talented guy.
And I think that in an NXT roster that's in flux right now, especially with the brand split, I think this is a guy that could slot into that top of the card spot. Because we have to see what he does in NXT and how he's portrayed, but this could easily be a top guy within NXT.
He'll be a top guy pretty quickly. This is that squash match like Kevin Owens had against, I can't remember who it was on his
CJ Parker.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, Ty Dillinger will not be receiving.
My Niagara game. Falls man, I love Ty Dillinger. Follow Canadian.
I think he's way more charismatic than they realize.
Seth Rollins was on Jericho's podcast, and Ty Dillinger was the guy that he worked with down at the Performance Center to get better, and he just said, like, he's such a great hand, and he doesn't understand why he can't just be used in the main roster just as a jobber, because he's such a great hand and such a good... I think the Perfect 10 character is so great. I wish he would have something like what happened with Jason Jordan, where he just gets a good tag team or just gets some brace of luck and gets over, because when I first saw him...
Why don't you team? Here's a great idea. Why don't you team it with Jason Jordan? You're welcome.
But then what happened? Are you going to put Gable by himself?
Before Jason Jordan was with Gable, who is he with?
Oh, he's with him. Yeah.
Yeah, Ty Dillinger.
Yeah. You're right.
A little bit of NXT knowledge.
Really like Ty Dillinger, and I thought out of all the jobbers, he's had the best match with Nakamura so far.
It's not hard to have a good match with Nakamura, obviously.
I also think he cuts really good promos. I think the fact is that they decided he's a jobber, whereas if they decided he was more in NXT, he could try and be more. And then you can decide whether or not he can be more in the main roster, but at least try him as more in NXT, but they've already decided it's slotted.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
The next match for the NXT Tag Team Champions, The Revival, had their rematch against American Alpha.
I think Ciampa and Gargano are coming for the titles at Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Loser goes to the main roster?
Hmm?
Loser goes to the main roster?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Revival's going to SmackDown then, probably.
Not bad, but I think they're a decent tag.
Although I've heard American Alpha is getting pretty close.
I'm not surprised.
With the brand split coming, you've got to have as many big names as possible, right? And American Alpha is a pretty big hand to get up to that main roster.
Yeah. I think...
Especially when I see Nights Like Tonight, where Enzo and Cass look like they've lost a little momentum already.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I flipped the channel on them. Someone that normally watches on PVR, I'm just like, yep, yeah, same promo, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next match is for the NXT Women's Champion, Asuka versus Nia Jax.
I like the build to this.
Yeah, I've liked the build to it too. I thought, I've kind of been mixed on Nia. She's done a good job. I think it's pretty obvious, though, that Asuka is going to lose this. That Nia Jax is going to lose this. Asuka's going to win. The Bayley's going to take out Nia Jax, and we're going to have the rematch of Brooklyn between Bayley and Asuka.
It's like that old saying, that building your heroes up and then tearing them down. This is what they've done with Bayley. Build her up.
For sure.
She's fallen, and now Brooklyn's her build up again.
Yeah.
To have her
rematch. I'm actually thinking they're probably going to have a three-way there.
Okay.
But I don't think Nia Jax will be out of it. Again, Nia Jax, though, she's really green. So they got to keep her in this situation. It'll be interesting. I think Asuka's going to be able to get a better match out of her than Bayley did, but we'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. The next match, no one's going to enjoy this match at all. This Austin Aries versus this Shinsuke Nakamura?
Match of the year possibility?
Yeah, if there wasn't already so many great matches this year, maybe.
Yeah.
Who wins this? Who needs it more? Who needs the W more?
Oh, Nakamura is winning this. It's not even a question.
Yeah, I think so. They have more invested in Nakamura. Whatever's going to happen next
Aries
in
is
NXT.
Aries is kind of this next level jobber.
Yeah.
Aries is
there to elevate other people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not a bad gig to have. And if you're going to be a player coach, and I think Nakamura is going to give Aries his best match on NXT to date. So
I think Aries now with the brand split has a chance to go to the main roster now, though.
Yeah,
we'll see. Did you guys see that fake rumored roster that went out?
No,
Aries was on SmackDown on it, though. It is almost undoubtedly bullshit. But I just
need to know where Samoa Joe was on this.
I think Samoa Joe also was on SmackDown, if I remember correctly.
Okay, that's the one.
Actually, no, Samoa Joe wasn't on there.
No,
Samoa Joe was not on this thing.
No.
I think Samoa Joe, and I can't remember who. I can't remember who else it was. There was one other person that was significant that was not actually
Finn.
Up. No, Finn was up. Finn was on Raw.
Was it Bayley?
No, I wasn't. I think it might have been American Alpha. Maybe not. I can't remember. You could find it. You could just if you type in Google, rumored roster.
Joe is at his best in his career. I've seen him in so damn long. He's the success that AJ has right now. It's like you need to get Joe up on this roster right now.
And speaking of Samoa Joe, he's got a steel cage match, the first one in NXT.
Loser goes to the main roster match.
Yeah, more or less. Who do you got winning? This one's a little bit more of a coin toss.
Joe and Nakamura, Brooklyn.
I think you're right. I think Joe and Nakamura is where they're going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think so as well, and I think that that means Finn's going to be the one of the hands that help AJ get away.
When we saw, yeah, when we saw tonight, we saw at the end, you know, it's like 4-on-3. Yeah. So I guess Xavier Woods was, you know, down and out, but it's like, you know, 4-on-3 when you have the New Day and John Cena versus the Club. I'm seeing that becoming 4-on-4 possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, we've gone through it. Do you? This is not the end of the NXT. Where do you think this would rank among? Because we've had a lot of great NXT Takeover specials.
I also, Joe, one last point, and I want to know most important in this. I think they may be going Nakamura, but I could also see Hideo Itami returning the challenge, Joe.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's very possible.
Yeah. I definitely think they will build to a Hideo Nakamura match because they know the value in it.
And possibly maybe they bring him back and just call him Kenta now because they seem to be going with the names. And if you have the Nakamura versus Kenta match of the two Japanese names and you have those in Japan for a bit.
Yeah, you do that match in Japan.
Yeah,
right. You do that match in Japan and you sell a whole bunch.
So one of the main New Japan guy for the longest time, or at least one of them, versus the main Noah guy. It's just
Wow. Yeah.
When they go to Japan, how many Bullet Club shirts do we see in the crowd?
A lot. A lot is the answer.
Now, my few little questions I had, just fire them off. If anyone else had said the Bullet Club on Monday Night Raw, would they have been fired?
No, not fired.
No, but
not fined. Buried.
I think they. Yeah, well, buried. Yeah, for sure. Possibly fined.
What did he say? The Bullet Club.
He said, "What was he called them?" He said, "When you come out here and you attack me with your little, I don't know, sycophants from the Bullet Club or something like that."
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
And you see AJ's eyes go a little wide, and he kind of.
Yeah.
Moves his head a little closer. He's like,
they can get sued for saying it, can they?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No, okay. They're not. But because they're not marketing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're not marketing it, they just said it.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing it would be different. That's when they can get sued.
I almost wonder if Cena said it on purpose because it's John Cena.
Probably.
He can do what since we're sitting.
He might still get fined.
I mean, Taker and Hunter got fined a few years at WrestleMania for using chairs.
He and CM Punk got heavily fined for that pile driver spot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
what have you thought of the AJ Punk AJ Cena build?
Awesome. I love AJ. Terrific. AJ's the best. AJ is like, this is why I said this on We Talk Wrestling on Sunday. If you're doing we're 6 months in. If you're doing the Observer Awards right now, AJ wins like almost everything. Like he's been unbelievable. I said last year he won Wrestler of the Year. He could win Most Improved, and he was a Wrestler of the Year last year. That's how good he's been.
His promo tonight really impressed me. You read it Most Improved mo?
Good.
Like that's the one thing that AJ's always been held back by.
His SmackDown promo too. His SmackDown promo with against Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
Friday. Same thing.
Yeah,
like really good.
I think we can agree AJ's better as a heel, and he's getting heel heat. People are booing him.
Nope.
Well, I think he's just great everywhere. Yeah.
Like you and I said, this is the difference between Cena and Roman, right? People will play the game with Cena, right? If you're supposed to hate the bad guy, there's enough of a split of the crowd, then they care about Cena. People are invested in Cena, so they will boo the heel even if they like them sometimes. It even happened with Punk, right? People would still boo Punk. Unless they were in Chicago. The thing with Roman is, people just don't care about Roman.
I liked, in Cena's promo, he talked about failing at the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
It was WrestleMania moment. And he never mentions that Roman beat him. He just mentions...
Yes, he did.
He said,
if you can't beat Roman Reigns, how can you expect to beat John Cena?
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
That part he did say. That part I did remember. I did hear.
I don't remember, because I remember sitting there thinking, he didn't mention Roman.
He does. He 100% mentions Roman. Because I remember that part especially, because he says, if you couldn't beat Roman Reigns, how do you expect to beat John Cena?
Okay. Also, a quick note from Raw tonight. They had a tag team match where Roman and Cena were tag teaming, And from what I was reading, I didn't see or hear anything.
Oh, and it was a dark match.
Yeah, it was a dark match. And from what I was hearing and reading was the difference on who's over between Cena and Roman is just light years.
Of course, because people, if you don't, you and I talked about this. Like, if us three went to a show, we would still chant Cena sucks.
Yep.
But we're doing that because it's fun to do that. I like John Cena. I don't have a problem with him, but that's my role at the wrestling show is say Cena sucks, and he would want me to do that, right? Because that's what it is now. With Roman, it's boo and you're annoying, get off my TV. I like Roman, I think he's working hard, but he hasn't gotten to that level yet. It's just too down the throat.
Roman is absolutely not asking you to boo him, whereas when Cena holds up the mic and says, you guys chant Cena sucks, you say, chance, let's go Cena. He's in on it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, like I said, if they do the brand split and they make him world champion, people might turn on him again because they'd be like, oh, you're shoving him down our throat again. But I thought that would be the attitude. But something about since he's come back has felt a little different. Like he's transitioned from that main roster guy to that legend who's back.
Good call.
Status and it's almost like I have a feeling it's like like not a real hatred anymore and not the real I don't know I don't feel like it's the same.
I can agree with you on that. Yeah, there's something. I think ever since the U.S. title run,
that helped a lot. I think he earned a lot of people's respect there. So that combined with being gone, combined with just many many years of service, and it's like. Okay, he's kind of hitting that level where it's like you know, he's legendary status, and you have to be really good when you're a legend to get booed. I mean, Jericho does it, but then again, when he's on top of that ladder and he's got that scarf on.
Stupid idiot! That was the best.
I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot.
Awesome. Well, I was gonna ask
you don't remember that? That was I think a Royal Rumble. It was
Unforgiven against The Undertaker, triple threat with him and Big Show.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Go back to Toronto. Go to Winnipeg, you idiot. Some guy in the crowd.
I was going to ask you also, Mo, two things. One, what did you, and Joel too, what did you think about the video packages of Seth and Roman? Because I love those. Well, I thought those are great.
Here's the big thing. As a guy that likes cameras, videos, shooting, editing, all that stuff, I think WWE does a bang-up job, and I strongly believe they don't get the recognition they deserve for the production value they put out for some of their products. My biggest thing is Seth Rollins was not positioned as a heel in his video.
Oh, no. He was the ultimate babyface. Roman was the heel, more or less.
It was very forced with Seth that he had to have these little barbs thrown in there. It didn't feel natural, but when you're seeing this guy that had climbed the top, that just wanted to be the best... And he missed out, and he blew his knee out, and there was a chance of him not coming back, and the struggle, the fear, the not knowing what happened. Will the crowd know who I am? Will I be able to go at the level I was once able to? Will I be able to reclaim what was mine? How can you hate the guy? And Roman was just...
That's why they showed the promo the night before, right? Turns in the crowd because that was supposed to make you hate him. But the thing is, what to me was most interesting was both times when they cut to the live crowd looking at the Titantron, and everybody was riveted to both videos. Just to me, that was very interesting.
Yeah, I think again it's that production level. I do wonder. WWE's not completely stupid. I do wonder if this is a slow turn for a double turn between Seth and Roman.
Could be.
Because you...
But if he's the face of Raw, I don't think so.
Yeah. See, and that's the biggest factor right now is Roman's going to be the face of Raw. Cena's going to be the face of SmackDown. You kind of got to keep him as a... But then again, Hunter was the face of Raw, and he was a heel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's
different in a way, though, with this, though. I don't know. Also, this is totally random, just going back to NXT real quick. One line I loved in that, you've both seen the Finn and Joe sit down, I'm assuming?
Yep.
Yeah.
I just love the line where Finn said, you turned your back on me, and Joe's like, well, that's the only place I could stab you at. No, he said, you backstabbed me. And Joe said, well, you turned your back to me, there's no place I could stab you. I thought that was such a brilliant line, and apparently Joe ad-libbed that in the moment.
Really?
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Joe is just on another level. And it seems on another level. I haven't got a chance to talk to you about this on audio before we go. Ospreay, Ricochet, Mo, thoughts?
Oh, to me it's very, like, do I think it could slow down and sell a little more and be a little better? Yeah, absolutely. But to me, like, the music of today isn't the same as the music of 20 years ago, and it wasn't supposed to be, and it's not supposed to be the same as the music of 40 years ago.
No.
Wrestling to me is like any other pop culture or thing like that. Just like how movies change and whatever. I mean, if the style of today is a video game kind of martial arts film style, and that's what the next generation has, and that's their wrestling, then they're supposed to have their own wrestling, and that's fine. And if the generation before was a hardcore wrestling, and the generation before that was a sports entertainment wrestling, and the generation before that was a tag team wrestling, every generation has their own wrestling. And this to me, so I mean, if the generation after don't get it, that's fine. The point is, will it bring in the new crowd? That's who it is. And if it's for people of Ospreay's generation, that's fine, as long as they're the ones who get it. So you're not supposed to. And as far as Vader left his feet and did moonsaults. Let me tell you something. If Loch Ness or Andre the Giant or any of these guys, huge guys in the past would have done that, people would have said they were ruining the business. But that's what people said about Vader, because he was a big guy who never should have left his feet and instead was doing moonsaults and wasn't wrestling like big man of the past. So for him to say this, to me, is hilarious. So those are my thoughts in kind of a quick thing, because I'm getting exhausted.
Here's my quick thoughts on it, and we'll debate it. Joe and I have been talking about match of the year, and you know, I think there's a lot. My argument that I'm going to make for this for match of the year is this was on Good Morning America. The way that it has trended, it was on ESPN. It was on Morning with Michael and Kelly. They were talking about this match, and that has to count for something when you're considering match of the year. I would agree. When we had talked off air, you were mentioning Ospreay could have sold a little bit better, and the kick at the very end to Ricochet just misses, and it kind of hurt it. But
to me, what hurt the most is being able to hear them call the spots.
I mentioned that to Joel as well. Yeah,
that's when I hear Ospreay go, oh, hey, you okay? And Ricochet go, great, yeah, I'm fine. And then Ospreay go, you know what? Okay, grab me and hold me by the tights. And Ricochet go, oh, what? He goes, I said, hold my tights. Okay, I'll do that. You know, like, to me, that's that it can never be match of the year when that happens. But
that's very fair. Very fair. All right. Well, Mo, you sound like you're tired. Joel, you sound like you're tired. Awesome. Lord knows I'm tired. I got to watch some camp WWE before bed.
I got to go to bed because I got to be up in 6 hours.
Okay, then we're definitely going to get Mo out of here. So, thanks everyone for listening. Rest in peace to the great Kimbo Slice. And until next time, cheers.
Now, Muhammad Ali, didn't you?
Yep, that as well. Well, we have a whole podcast about that.
Okay.
And, you got a joke at all, Mo, or are you too tired?
Oh, I'm OUT. I'm done.
Okay, next time we'll get a joke. All right. Enjoy the day, people.
Can you see me now? Can you see me now?